This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
David Boor talking about his book, No Return, The Jerry Irwin Story, UFO Abduction or Covert Operation. So he goes back to the scene of the crime, David. Let's continue the story.
When he comes back to his senses, he realizes that he's AWOL and that he really has no idea what he's doing there, but he knows he needs to turn himself in. This was April in the high desert, and the sun was going down, and it was getting cold. So there was a sense of urgency from both the elements and from being AWOL. So he hastened to make his way back to Cedar City. His jacket appeared to be of no use because it had weathered badly in the intervening, I guess it was a couple of months. So he left it there, interestingly, and he walked back to Cedar City. But he had a hard time finding the road again. That was the interesting thing. While he had no problem at all locating his jacket, he was disoriented when he came back to his senses. After a while, he did locate the highway, walked back to Cedar City, and turned himself in, where he encountered Sheriff Fife again, who he had met after his initial encounter. And Sheriff Fife filled him in on the details that he no longer remembered from his first day in Cedar City. Then Sheriff Fife contacted military officials to arrange for Jerry to be picked up. Interestingly, it took a few days, and I guess that's not unusual for picking up AWOL offenders. They're usually not in a hurry about that, I guess. But when they picked him up, they took him to Fort Ord, California first, where he stayed a few days before they drove him back to Fort Bliss in Texas, which is a massive detour. Maybe someone in the military world will be able to shed some light on that. I have no idea why they would do such a thing, but it does, to me, it was a provocative question. What would cause such a huge detour? And then when he got back to Fort Bliss, he was demoted and fined and then sent back to duty. But I think they gave him a different duty. Somewhere in there, the record isn't entirely clear. Somewhere in there, he was reassigned from his work as a Nike missile technician to possibly a desk or to a desk job somewhere.
In other words, nothing mission critical.
Yes. Whereas he had a security clearance when he was working on the Nike missile program, and that was taken away from him, and he was demoted from specialist SP4 to back down to private first class, I should say.
Very quickly here, was he a single gentleman or did he have a family?
He had been in the Air Force. He enlisted in the Air Force at age 16 during the height of the Korean War. Although he was eager to serve in the war, his true age was later found out, and he was barred from serving in a combat zone. So they sent him to Alaska to work on the distant early warning line, the Dew Line, which he was stationed in Alaska at, it was called the Tin City Air Force, Tin City Station or something like that. it was only 48 miles from the Siberian mainland, and they were there to monitor the skies in case of Russian nuclear attack. And the dew line was a series of radar installations that ran right across the northern frontier from all the way across Canada to Greenland. After, and Jerry's position was a ground radio operator during that time in the Air Force. When he got out of the Air Force, I think it was 1956, he got married in Utah, but that didn't last very long. He had a couple of kids. They got divorced, and then he worked for the Forest Service for a while, and then he re-enlisted, and this time in the Army. And he was about a little over a year into his Army enlistment when this event happened. And he had been actually doing quite well in his Army career. He had rapidly been promoted to a Nike technician, and was seemingly thriving in the Army before this happened.
So very briefly here, it's likely then that his ex-wife, I haven't asked you whether he remarried or not, that his ex-wife and his kids probably didn't know anything about this, or did they? Did you try to contact him?
Actually, Jerry told me he had never spoken to anyone in his family about this event. And this was confirmed by both his youngest daughter and also from an older brother. Neither of them had ever spoken with him about this event. So that, you know, for whatever reason, it wasn't something he wanted to talk about. Of course, he didn't remember a lot about it either. That's another factor.
Did he ever remarry or what?
He actually did remarry after his after he eventually got out of the Army. He did remarry and had another child, and then that ended in divorce, and then he met the woman that his last wife. They stayed together until she passed away just a year or two before I met him. So he was recently become a widower.
Okay, did he mention whether his second or third wife knew about any of this?
The only thing he would say was that he had never spoken to anyone. Anyone in his family, and I just assumed that meant all of his wives as well, so I don't know for sure.
Did you talk to his children about it?
I spoke to the youngest daughter, and it was quite surprising to her. She hadn't heard anything about this before. So I don't think he ever did share it with anybody.
Is he still alive or not?
Yeah, I spoke with him in June, and he was doing fine. He'd been through a terrible cardiac event. A few months after my last interviews with him in Idaho, he suffered a massive cardiac arrest.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear about that and his ongoing illness, and we do wish him a recovery. Let's go into more about Jerry Erwin and his experiences and go back to see what happened through his life More to come with David Brewer, Jerome Clark, Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at GalaxyQuestBooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks. GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Jerry Irwin has a cardiac event, but he's okay now?
Well, it was very serious. He was... His heart was stopped for half an hour, everybody was shocked that he actually revived. But it had taken quite a toll. And it's been a long recovery process for him getting his functioning back. And his memory took another hit because it had, well, you know, when your heart's not working for that long, it definitely affects the brain to some degree. But luckily, because I had spoken with him not long after that event, it seems that he is recovering, getting some of his memory back. Of course, what I mean by that is now he remembers me. He didn't remember me after the heart attack, so he is getting better that way.
So this is basically baby steps, obviously. Let's get back through his life and where we try to figure whether there's some kind of government connection with what happened to him. So he's put back on duty, and he gets demoted, and he gets a desk job. Get him out of the line of fire. What next?
At that point, that's when the Lorenzans were... They drove down to meet with him. They took him out to a restaurant, and he told them everything he could remember about the recent events. And they asked him if he would be receptive to seeing a private doctor, a civilian doctor, for the process of hypnotic regression. And he was interested, because by now he was really upset. He had just been through, he didn't know why, he had just gotten out of the hospital, and then he did this thing that was completely inexplicable that he seemed to have no control over, going into a trance and returning to Utah. So he really wanted to see what he could do to heal himself. And so he agreed to meet with the doctor, which he did, and they set up a series of appointments. And then he never kept any of them. And when the Lorenzans went to investigate why, they found out that every time Jerry had an appointment and he tried to leave the base, his commanding officer would find some extra duties for him to do. Either that, or he would not allow Jerry to trade duty if he was already scheduled. And he told Jerry in no uncertain terms that you better just drop this thing or we're going to make your life pretty rough. And after a couple of weeks of all the extra duties, Jerry just gave up. He never kept any of the appointments.
That obviously seems strange.
So it certainly looks like
us. Yeah.
Yes. Why would they be concerned about him retrieving his memories? That's a very interesting question.
It probably goes back to the doctor's comments, either privately or maybe even in a classified manner, about the initial sodium amethyl or pentothal session that he did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I just wonder how that was received by the command structure, and it raises a lot of interesting questions. Of course, one question that arises in this story is it possible that he happened upon a test of a secret aircraft that he couldn't identify, but that they wanted to keep the lid on? I mean, that's one possibility.
Yeah. It's not too far from Groom Lake.
Exactly. It's only, what, a couple hundred miles or so, maybe 300 miles?
But not even.
Not even. Yeah, it's not that far.
I want to get back into one thing here to also clarify as we flesh this story out. When you examined the medical records and the description of the event during that sodium pentothal session, Can you give us a quick summary of what he told the doctor?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's not a long... Well, Jerry said that it all started at age 3. And he didn't say what started at age 3. But then he started to talk about why he couldn't talk about it. He implied, or he said that he wasn't supposed to remember, or he wasn't supposed to talk about it, and that if he did, people could get hurt, essentially, and there would be a big investigation. And it's important to remember that this is recorded by a doctor who just obviously thinks this is total nonsense. Yet he's calling it, in his own report, he's saying that the doctor reports on the absurdity and basically discounts the entire testimony because because of the absurd nature of what Jerry said.
Okay, was there a specific description of what happened during that 24 hours?
Well, he actually didn't talk about that directly. So he didn't really provide any hints about that. He stated there was a special intelligence that he couldn't explain to me. Since I'm just quoting here from the doctor. Jerry stated there was a special intelligence that he couldn't explain to me since it would be incomprehensible to me, which has directed him not to remember or not to tell me about any of the events in Utah. He says if he tells what was behind the incidents in Utah, there will be a big investigation that he does not want to be bothered with, and also because it will harm many people, and he doesn't want that to happen. He states it all began at the age of 3 years, although he will not reveal how or what began, stating it would provide a clue to me as to what is behind all this. Also, he informed me that he could leave this hospital anytime if he wanted to by invoking a special force.
All right. We got another force. It's called the commercial force. And it's being activated right now. I could feel it in the ether. Some people want to give me ether and just solve the problem. David Boer, Jerry Clark, Chris O'Brien, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to Superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep all of your essentials protected. That means you can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit Solark.us to see EMP testing. That's Solark.us. Energy insurance for your family.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-963-4946. Even better, call right now and you can get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right. Special force, special intelligence. Where's the UFO out of this? Is there anything in that report that says UFO abduction, or is it just hinted?
Oh, in the doctor's report?
Yes.
The doctor's, I guess what you could say about the doctor reports are that they do mention what Jerry's belief seems to be. Jerry's belief was that whatever he saw in Utah, which eventually I think he did call a UFO, was what was causing all of his difficulties, all of his behavioral problems and his neurological problems. Of course, they were obviously unconvinced by what Jerry thought was going on, but at least they reported it. So as far as the doctors are concerned, there doesn't, I don't think they even ever considered the possibility that there really was a UFO, and that it could have been, you know, something that was a non-human craft of some kind. I don't think that was ever even considered from what I've seen. They looked at it more as a mental health problem.
I'm trying to focus here on where we get the UFO connection. Now, obviously, something happened. He blacked out. Maybe yes. Assume this guy just had a mental breakdown and be done with it? What?
Yeah, that's a possibility. It's a possibility we can't completely discount.
I think that the fullest account we have of what Irwin saw before he blacked out was pretty much a UFO. This is what he told the sheriff when he first recovered, and the sheriff was asking questions, right?
The sheriff eventually, I located the letter, Well, I should say a letter that the sheriff sent to, I guess he was a UFO researcher. I hadn't heard of him. Mark, a guy named C.H. Mark, had asked about it, and the sheriff sent him his account of what happened that night. And that was pretty interesting because it was a more complete account than Jerry seemed to recall later on. So it might be that the sheriff's letter contains the most accurate and complete account of Jerry's experience. I say might be because that depends on whether or not the sheriff recorded it accurately. But if what the sheriff recorded was accurate, then it does give us some interesting information. In the sheriff's account, Jerry did not black out right after leaving his car. He actually remained conscious as he trudged up the hill. And as the closer he got to the crest of the hill, the brighter the light became. And right when he crested the hill is when he should have seen the object is when he passed out. That's what he told the sheriff shortly after coming back to his senses on that, the night after his encounter or his sighting. So it does sound like, here's what he said in his letter. Mr. Irwin saw a large object flying from south to north almost directly overhead. He thought it was an airplane, but couldn't tell the shape on account of the streams of light shooting out from it. He said it was very large, and on account of the light radiating from it, he thought it was on fire. And then he could see the light to the north shining up into the sky and thought the plane had crashed and was burning. The closer he came to the top of the hill, I'm sort of excerpting it here. He started to climb a steep mountain in about a foot of snow, and the closer he came to the top of the hill, the brighter the light became. As he reached the top of the hill, he blacked out and was out for about 23 hours. So that certainly sounds like a UFO, but it's entirely... We are relying entirely on what Jerry's experience was, because there were no other witnesses.
What struck me about that as I read it was that this is actually a description of a specific kind of UFO that people report from time to time that almost seems a flame. You know, it's shooting off fire and is extremely bright. And Irwin also said it was quite large. And so there's nothing in this description, for whatever it's worth, that suggests a conventional airplane or a meteor. You know, I think we just have to decide, if this testimony was accurate or not. But if it is accurate, this is a UFO event.
And also, Jerry remarked, even when I spoke to him in 2014, he still remembers that initial sighting. And he remembers that it seemed to be coming down awfully slow for something like on a free fall. It seemed to be a little too slow. Like it was it was very confusing to him. He just was surprised by the speed of it. Maybe 100 miles an hour, I think, is what he said when he had to guess.
Just quickly going through his life, once he got out of the military, what happened?
He got work with Eastman Kodak in the microfilm technology. He serviced microfilm machines and then quickly was promoted to become an instructor of servicing the machines. And they shipped him to from Oregon. He first worked in Portland, Oregon, doing that. and Kodak shipped him out to New York, Rochester, New York, to their school, to the Kodak school where they teach technicians. And eventually they sent him out to San Francisco to work as a supervisor. So his career was both in his later Army career and in his civilian life, he did quite well from a career standpoint. Was able to take an early retirement with a nice, you know, what's the word? Retirement pension.
Pension.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing that makes me wonder about. He didn't seem to exhibit the symptoms of someone with mental problems. He, before and after this year of trouble, he had a great career in the Army, and he had later on, when he went back to regular duty in the Army, he rose quickly in the ranks, and then in civilian life, he did quite well. And there's just no indication that he had a mental problem.
After that year, did anything happen to him ever that was weird?
Not that he remembers.
All right. Now, let's go into this starting in our next segment, the possibility of government involvement because of the way the information was kept from him. David Boer, Jerome Clark, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at GalaxyQuestBooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks. GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to prostatemiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so obviously the doctor who examined him doesn't disclose what he said under truth serum. All these side issues, is there anything here that leads you to believe he got maybe involved unwittingly, perhaps, in some kind of government operation?
Well, I'm very interested in the apparent attempt to block Jerry's appointments for hypnotic regression. There should have been no problem with him doing whatever he wanted to on his free time. So that raises questions. Another thing that raises questions is that it looks like there was probably a second Amatol interview. This is something that I uncovered as I was comparing the datelines, the timelines of the Army records versus Jerry's memory that was recorded by the Lorenzans. In comparing those two, it appears that there's an Amatol interview that was not recorded in the official records. And then also there's an Amatol interview that Jerry doesn't remember, which is pretty interesting. And it is quite interesting that right after he was released from the psych ward, he immediately goes to Utah in a trance. It seems very similar to something like hypnotic suggestion, post-hypnotic suggestion, which is something that Jim Lorenzen speculated about. Although he didn't, in the end, he favored a different hypothesis. He certainly thought it was an intriguing possibility that Jerry was subjected to post-hypnotic suggestion. Now, if that happened, it seems unlikely to me it happened with his regular doctor. His regular doctor, he was a drafted Army doctor who, he was just doing his job from what I can tell. I don't see why he would get involved in trying to program Jerry to go and destroy evidence, so to speak. So it does seem likely to me that if there was this second interview, as Jerry remembers, that it wasn't with his regular doctor.
Okay, so this is then a doctor that they selected for him?
He was just a doctor working on the psych ward, Dr. Valentine. Eventually, Jerry saw another doctor because Dr. Valentine, his term was up and he left. His two-year drafted term. And then the supervising doctor is the one who finished up with Jerry before he left for the last time. And both of these, if you read the records that they wrote, they both seem pretty much no-nonsense kind of psychiatrists or MDs. So I don't think it was anything they did. I'd be very doubtful. So I think that if there was something going on in terms of messing with Jerry's mind, I think it would have been someone else in, you know, possibly associated with MKUltra or counterintelligence or someone like that. If so, the regular medical staff maybe didn't know anything about it.
Well, David, don't you think that the authorities and Irwin's superiors would naturally look at this from a national security point of view, thinking that this guy could have been, you know, abducted by hostile foreign agents and messed with, and they wanted to investigate that possibility? It seems to me that if you want to explain their behavior, that works better than calling in an MKUltra conspiracy, which seems kind of clunky and unlikely for various reasons.
Well, I think you raise a good point, because this was at the height of the Cold War, and as you say, that those concerns were foremost in the minds of the military establishment. So that very well, that makes sense what you say.
Remember, there was a great deal of concern during the Korean War that American prisoners of war had been messed with by the North Koreans and the Chinese, and that they'd been brainwashed. That's where the whole concept comes from. So naturally, this guy comes in literally out of the cold in this really messed up mental state. And I think it would be natural for them to wonder if something had been done to get him to reveal the secrets or to act unconsciously as an agent of presumably the Soviet Union or whatever, you know, hostile power was involved in this. It seems to me that what they were doing, at least from my reading, and I don't claim this is the final word on the subject, was just examining the national security implications of this. I think from what I understand of your book, it sounded as if some of these people thought this guy was just goofing off and making up a story, or other people wondered if this is something sinister. But I don't find any convincing evidence that he was picked on by the CIA or something to mess with his head. That doesn't make any sense at all. Also, if you study the history of MKUltra, as you did, and you have an interesting account of it, most of these were controlled experiments. They weren't plucking people off the street. They wanted them in some place. And in the mid-1950s, a guy named Frank Olson, who was a civilian Army employee in Washington, was slipped LSD without his consent, without his knowledge, ended up jumping out a window. And this was a very bad lesson, an object lesson, that when the CIA did these things, which it should never have been doing in the first place, of course, but it had to be in better control of the situation to keep it a secret. So the MKUltra experiments were a secret for a long time. I don't think they were exposed until 1975 by Senator Church's committee, which was investigating CIA misdeeds. As we know, in 1973, the then CIA director, Richard Helms, directed that all MKUltra records be burned, so our knowledge is certainly incomplete. But it does leave open no end of conspiracy theories, and conspiracy theories usually just have us running in circles. I think that I always go for the more economic explanation, which is the one that I've outlined to you. I'd just be interested in what you think.
Well, in that regard, then, would you flesh that out a little bit? I'm interested in where you think that, how that would have unfolded.
How what would have unfolded?
Your idea about the concern about possible foreign intelligence.
This was an unusual event. And this is a military guy, and it's really peculiar. So naturally, it's not just going to be shrugged off. So they are going to investigate, as they did investigate. And I think, as I read your out of it. As I said earlier, some of the people who were looking into whatever was in or hidden inside Irwin's head, covered by amnesia, some thought this is just some goofy guy who's making this up. And other people thought that something was going on, so that's why he was given sodium pentothal, and he was examined and hospitalized. I think they were genuinely puzzled, and even some of them, at least, were a little alarmed about what might have happened. In the 1950s, which I probably remember better than you do, there was a lot of concern about brainwashing, and that's how the CIA got involved with MK Ultra to begin with, was to see if it could control behavior. And they might have thought of this as something like what had gone on during the Korean War, that efforts are made to mess with the brains of soldiers and to make them, you know, agents, and to make them think and feel and say things that they would not have said in their ordinary state of consciousness. You know, when MK Ultra comes in, it's certainly not impossible. It just seems to me unlikely and unnecessary, because they wouldn't have had any control over this experiment, and they really kept their subjects under control. For example, some of them were prisoners, people like that, who just were not roaming out in free space. And this would have been an experiment conducted in free space with no control over what would come of it.
We've got Jerome Clark, David Boer, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.